More a fun topic, more of a, I guess, a halachic topic, a fun topic. It's good to have those. I got it to the topic, maybe. But certainly a halachic maisa comes out. I'm going to share with you the real halachic maisa that does come out from the Sefer Yetzirah. I know you guys got excited about Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah, to my knowledge, only comes up one place, I think, in all of Shas. Anyone know where that is? Sanhedrin. Excellent, very good. Later on in Marsechta, it comes up. Not here, but it comes up in Furish later on in the Gemara. So let's go through this sugya. I'll speak about that in just a moment. But the Gemara in the bottom of the Testament base teaches us that there are a few different ways that a person can be Mekayim, or at least a child who's not really their biological child can be considered as if it's their child. So one example the Gemara says is, Amar Yonasan kol amalamid es ben chavero mala alav kasav kilu yaldo. A person teaches someone else's child, a Rebbe as Talmidim, it's kilu mamish their his children. And, I pushed this before. I really highly recommend people read Rabbi David Trank's biography article. It's fantastic, but you see the way he lived his life. Every single student was considered mamish like a son of his. And he really lived and breathed this Gemara. And he brings Uriah, Eil told us Aaron and Moshe, and Eil Shmos ben Aaron, to tell me that Aaron, Yalad, Aaron gave birth to these children. However, Moshe Benu, it was called based on Moshe Benu as the father because he's the one who taught them. That's one example of a non-biological child being considered the child. And the other one the Gemara talks about is Kolha Megadel Yalsam V'Yosoma. It's Ilu Yalda as well. So these are the two interesting things that come from the Gemara. Now, just another point that comes out from the Gemara, which is not our focus, but it's important for you guys to keep in mind. The Gemara talks about Tzar Gilu Banim. Tzar Gilu Banim, it's very painful raising children. It's difficult. Difficult raising children. There's a lot of sorrow sometimes. So that's Rashi's understanding. Tosfos says, I don't know if you saw Tosfos here, but Tosfos is amazing. The Tosfos says, quotes Rashi, he says, lo nira, it doesn't make any sense to me. Number one is, ain't no tzar el simcha. It's an incredible simcha to raise children. I don't know what Rashi's talking about. And Tosfos obviously was related to Rashi. Tosfos is one of the grandchildren of Rashi. So Rashi had a hard time raising Tosfos, maybe. Tosfos had But either way, it was an incredible simcha Tosfos had. And he gives a different shot. It was, in particular, Yaakov Avinu had a hard time with Yosef and the brothers and that whole fight. But in general, it's an incredible simcha. So I when I learned this a number of years ago, I learned this when I was probably around your age, the first time I learned Sanhedrin, when I was learning this Machlokas Rashi Tos, I wanted to understand what exactly was the Nekudas of Machlokas. So I asked Rav Shechter what he thought. Rav Shechter said, I always assume my Tosos, it's a great Simcha. He didn't have a Hezbro for the Machlokas. So I asked Rav Willig, Rav Mordechai Willig, I always assume it's a Simcha, it's a great Simcha. So they never understood, no one, they didn't explain the Machlokas, I don't know the Machlokas, but since then I've always assumed it's an incredible Simcha, and it's an incredible Simcha, a great honor, pleasure, joy raising children. So all you should be zochet to have many, many children and view chinuch habanim as an incredible simcha, not as a tzar gidul banim. So now the Gemara here teaches us that these two ideas of being megadol yasam v'yasoma is kilo yaldo and kol ha'melamed is ben chavero is kilo yaldo. So this leads into a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim Achronim regarding two different areas of halacha. Number one is whether or not a person is considered a child in regards to Puruvu. And secondly, in terms of the halachas of Kibra Ve'im. These are the two main halachas that they wonder, how much do we consider these individuals the children? So the Gaon HaShas of Yosef Engel here on the Sugya, he quotes a Chacham Tzvi, it's a well-known Chacham Tzvi, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, halacha. Now, sometimes people think that Sefer Yetzirah, these golems are these spooky things, but they are spooky things, but it doesn't mean they don't exist. Nowadays they don't exist, but there was a time where they existed, apparently. I don't know how prevalent. Maharal had this famous story, whatever that means, the golem of the Maharal of Prague. But the Chacham Tzvi spoke about this as a real din. Mishnah Berurah brings this thing as a real din. And the question is, if a person creates a child, a human being, through a Sefer Yetzirah, he says he's Chashiv Ki Yisrael, he's like a Yid, and he'd be part of the Minyan. He's brought down Halach L'maisa, part of the Minyan. That's what he writes. Now, the Mishnah Berurah brings some other interesting things in general, just other spooky things. There's a concept, I'm going off on a tangent for a moment. There's a concept in the Svarim HaKadoshim about Gilgulim. You've all heard about Gilgulim. So you learn Gilgulim, is it true, is it not true? So there's a Rashash, actually, Rashash on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, who brings a Rai from the Gemara, that just like Gemara says, say so, may olam should be kibiyasa may olam, that you should leave the world with no averas, like you entered into the world with no averas. And Rashash says from there, we see that there's no such thing as a Gilgulim. Because if Gilgulim come back in the world, they come back, we're told, there's a certain tikkun they did in Avera. So they don't come back with a clean slate. They come back with a certain Avera. So it must be there's no such thing as a Gilgulim. So there's a certain sect of Hasidim don't learn Rashash because of this. Because he rejected Gilgulim. That's what I heard once. So either way, the Mishnah Berurah does speak of Gilgulim in one place. Where does he speak of Gilgulim? So Gemara talks about halachas in Loig the Rush. A person's in a base kvaros. You're not supposed to wear tittus out. You're not supposed to wear tefillin. So what about if a person's by a kever of a tino, a baby, a child who never reached the age of bar mitzvah? So the din is, the Mishnah Berurah says, he's never chai a mitzvah, so there's no loig the Rush. But he says, Mestama, he was a gilgul of a great tzaddik, and therefore he's chayvin mitzvahs before he was a tinok, and therefore there would be loig the Rush. That's what he writes. So it comes up. See, these spooky things do come up in the Mishnah Berurah, and don't frown upon them, but even though we don't understand them, but it certainly is a part of our Mesorah. So in terms of Sefer Yetzirah, let's just talk about another fun topic of Sefer Yetzirah. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that every Erev Shabbos, I think it's Daf Samach Zayin, I pulled up my old notes on this, Samach Zayin with Beis, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Oshaya would always make a piece of meat every Erev Shabbos through Sefer Yetzirah. They got together, a little Chavruta Shaf, and they said, Sefer Yetzirah, they said, Shemos Hashem, and poof, came out, and the Gemara says, they had a calf, and they ate it for Erev Shabbos. So the Shla has a fascinating discussion. The Shla writes, this sugya that talks about a Sefer Yetzirah that created meat, created a cow, it does not need a shechita. It doesn't require a shechita. It's not really meat. And you can eat it alive. There's no Eivim Rechai problem. And he said that's what the Shvatim did. When Yosef saw that the Shvatim were eating Eivim Rechai, he said, how could they be eating Eivim Rechai? So he says, how can they? The Shvatim were Shiftei Ka. They ate Eivim Rechai. No, they were eating Sefer Yetzirah meat. Sefer Yetzirah meat doesn't require shechita. It was alive, and they just broke off its head and ate the legs and whatever they wanted to do. There's no din of shechita. The Shla writes this. And the Malbim says the same thing, that when Moshe Benu was, rather Avram Avinu was getting for the Malachim, he was getting the bucker, and he rots Avram the bucker, it says that he didn't run physically, he ran to use Sefer Yetzirah, and he created meat with the Sefer Yetzirah. That's what he says, Pshat, the Malbim says this. So he says, with that, we can understand now, how is it possible Avram Avinu was able to feed the Malachim Bas B'chalf? Because he says, it wasn't really Basr. It's not really meat. So you're going to tell me, oh, this is the Malbim, this is the Shlat, the Pisrei Tshuva on your Ardea quotes this. La halacha. What's the halacha? So it's talking about something called a Ben Pekua. Ben Pekua is if you shecht an animal and you find inside a live calf inside, it does not require a shechita because the shechita of the aim was chal on the child as well, the calf, and it has already, it's shechet, even though it's alive, and you can eat it alive. And he says, he brings a raya from all these cases here of a Sefer, he says, Sefer Yetzirah meat as well. It doesn't require a shechita. He brings it down in Pesach Tshuva in Yerdei Simen Tamach Beis. So he writes, even though that's the case, Midraisa doesn't require shechita because of Mars Ayin, you should shecht an animal anyways. A Ben Pekua you should shecht, and you should also shecht an animal created through Sefer Yetzirah. How's that relevant to you and I, you and me? Because we have something that used to be more spoken about. I haven't heard much about it recently, but lab-grown meat. They could take these cells and create a cow meat in a cell, was ever born. So is that real meat or not meat? So if Shechter felt that he compared this to Sefer Yetzirah. It's, some people use Kabbalah to create it, and some people use science to create it. But it was never born. It's not a cow, it was never alive, it never mooed. So therefore, it was never alive, it's not really meat. And he thinks it's only an Isser meat midrabanan, the Basser midrabanan. And Rav Asher Weiss felt otherwise. He said, what do you mean? This is mamish, the same molecules. It's the same exact molecules as real cow. So it wasn't born. Who cares? But you're using the cells of a cow to make another cow that's in meat. And he felt it's a basar midiraisa. So based on the Sefer Yetzirah, can this be used as a model for lab-grown meat? That's a discussion in the poskim. Now what's the nafkamina? So who cares whether it's basar midiraisa, basar midirbanam? If you mix it with chalav, so the din is that you can't eat chalav and basar, whether the basar midiraisa or midirbanam, but in terms of getting hana. Basar b'chalav midiraisa, you can't even get hana from it. Basar b'chalav midirabanan, although you can't eat it, you can get hana, you could sell it. So that would be nafkmina, so that's just an interesting thing that comes halach l'maisa, based on Sefer Yetzirah. Okay, back to our discussion. So now the Chacham Tzvi says that an animal, or a human being rather, created from Sefer Yetzirah is a real yid. And one of the rais he brings is that if a person is megadel, a yasam v'yasoma, it's as if he gave birth to it, just by raising a child. So then, kal v'chomer, if you actually created a person, a human being, that should certainly be considered a human being, and that would count as a minim. So Rav Yosef Engel, he quotes from another sefer he has called Gvura Shmonim, where he elaborates on this topic. He says, I agree that it might be considered a human being, that which is created through a sefer Yetzira, but I don't agree that it's a Jew. It's a guy. It's an Evakanani. You own it. You created it. You own it. You have control. It's your Evakanani. It's your robot. But it's not a Yid. Where's the Raya that it's a Yisrael? So therefore, he argued that the sefer Yetzira, a human being, is not called the Yid. It's called Evakanani. Doesn't count as part of the Minyan. But either way, you see from here that they take the line, the Gemara, pretty literally, that Kol ha Megadel Yasam Yisoma is Kilu Yalda. It was really a child, and that was a Kal Vachomer used from that to understand the case of the Sefer Yetzirah. Now, the Chus Ramah also uses this discussion to talk about a sensitive topic of a grandchild. Can a grandchild say Kaddish for a grandparent? Is that allowed? And on top of that, another layer is that the grandparents raise them. It happens, you know. I know someone from the shul, a wonderful person. He was a yasam at a very young age, lost both his parents, and he was raised by his grandparents. So, what would the din be? Is there a chiv to say a kaddish for a grandparent who raised him? So he says there are two different layers here. One is this is unique in general: a grandchild, this relationship to a grandfather. Number two is the fact that these grandparents raised him. So in terms of the topic, there's a whole other sugya about is there a requirement of kavod zakan, or zakein rather, is there a requirement of a grandchild to honor grandparents? Is that a requirement? Is there such a thing? We know there's an obligation of kibud ve'eim, but what about kibud zakein? Does that exist? So he quotes from the Ma'arik. Ma'arik says, we don't find anywhere, there's no rise at all, that a ben is chayv in chod avi aviv. Never do we have that as a requirement of honoring one's grandparent. But the Ramah argues, Ramah brings this also, this is Chuvas, but he brings this also in Hilchos Kibav Eim. He says there is a mitzvah. And he brings, based on a medrash that Rashi quotes, it says, Vayizbach Yaakov Zvachim Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak V'lo Lelokei Avi Aviv. So how come Yaakov was giving a carbon only for the God of his father, not the God of his grandfather? And so the medrash explains, from here we see, Shechayv Adam Bechvod Aviv, Yoser Michvod Avi Aviv. There's a greater requirement of honor for one's father than one's grandfather. But that implies there's still Chiv of the grandfather. It's just that one is more than the other one. And that's one of his rayas. He says there is a requirement for doing so. And this becomes part of a larger discussion of honoring a grandparent. So he says there is a requirement of honoring. Others argue. Marik says no. Rama says yes. So the Torah Tumimah actually brings an interesting raya from this week's Parsha. I forget it's Kedai to mention, in Parsha Ves Chanan. So he brings a raya based on the Gemara and Kedushin. The Gemara and Kedushin tells us that, how do you know Gemara and Kedushin, how do you know, Ein li shechayv b'limud haben, ela aviv, I only know that a father must teach his son limud haTorah. Aviv minayin, how do I know that even a grandfather has a requirement to teach a grandson? It says in the sixth Parsha, v'odatam levanecha v'levnei vanecha, that you have to let the Torah be known, not only to your son, but even to your grandson. So that's one of the rayas. He brings a couple more, that there is such a concept of honoring a grandparent. That's not quite honoring, that's a special din of limud haTorah. So not the greatest raya, but we see there is some special relationship between a grandparent and a grandchildren. So he says, number one, so there is an obligation of some sort of a grandchild to a grandparent. But on top of that, he says, based on our sugya and Gemara Sanhedrin, daf Yutesim Abeis, that if it was raised by the grandparents, that's yet another reason why there should be a level of obligation of Kaddish, because when you raise a Yasom, it's Ke'ilu Yalda, as if you gave birth to it. So that was the Ramah's understanding, that in terms of Kaddish and Kibud Avi Ve'eim, there is an element of that by Megadel Yasom V'Yasoma. Now, the Chassam Sofer argued on this, and at least in the case, now it could be in theory he agrees to the concept, but the at least Shaila was asked in the Chassam Sofer was, if a Yasam wanted to say Kaddish for a step-parent who raised him, and the Avelim didn't let him, so are the Avelim allowed to stop him? Do the children, the biological children, have the right to stop their stepbrother from saying Kaddish? And the Chassam Sofer comes out to say that, they do have the right to, because it's their obligation. A biological child is much more child than a stepchild, even though it's a wonderful thing, it's a mitzvah rabba, and it's kilo yalda, all of that is wonderful, it's a beautiful thing, and your Ma writes that you should call a stepchild a son, and you should still call a step-parent a father and a mother, But in terms of the level of chiyuv, he does not have the same level of chiyuv as the real biological children. So it is mashma from the Chassam Sofer that there is some inyan, there is some chiyuv of a stepchild. It's just not the same level of chiyuv as the real biological children. So I think he'd admit, he would agree to the Ramah, in a vacuum, a child raised by step-parents would be able to say Kaddish and has an obligation even of a certain level of kibud av ve'em, in that case, just not as great as that of the biological children. So that's all regarding Kaddish. So what about Puruvu? Is there a kima Puruvu? Let's say parents can't have children, or they have children and they want to get more mitzvahs. So is there going to be a kima Puruvu by raising a yasam v'yasamim? This is a very chashuv thing. Just, you know, you should know. I have a good friend of mine who kind of has a number of children, but he took into his home someone else who's a yasam to just help raise them. And it's the amount of love that this child is getting is unbelievable. This is incredible mitzvah rama. Those who are able to do this. So the question is, does one fulfill the obligation of Puruvu in doing so? Is there a mitzvah Puruvu? Now, Pasha says you would think not. It's not Puruvu. It's not the biological child. But he has the Chachma Shlomo does have a suffix. Shlomo Kluger says maybe yes, maybe not. So he says maybe the Chakira depends on how we view the word Ki'ilu. As a word Ki'ilu, how literally do we take that word Ki'ilu? He says there's a general machlokus between the Drisha and the Taz about the word Ki'ilu. So the Drisha says the word Ki'ilu does not mean equating two different things. Kilo means it's like something. It's kiv, but not mamish like whatever it's equating it to. And the Taz says no. Kilo means mamish, they equated. So when we take the Gemara that says, Kom Megadla Yasam Yisomo Ki'ilu Yaldo, is that Kilo mamish a child, then you would fulfill the mitzvah Puruvu? Or no, it's only like, it's a wonderful thing, mitzvah Rabba. But to give the guy a check mark as a Puruvu, how could that be? How could that be? Now, certainly for the mitzvah, the Minchas Chinuch, yeah.
Isn't that Taz apply to a guy?
Apply to a guy?
Meaning when I could be Mekai and Puruvu if I was like adopted a guy into my home, like a child.
Would one be able to... No, I don't think so. It has to be a Jewish child. That's
Ki'ilu doesn't extend all the meaning.
Yeah, you said kol megado.
Meaning if I'm megado.
Right. Yeah, but one of the requirements has to be a Jew. If a person is married to a non-Jew and has children, biological children, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah Puruvu. So Kal v'chomer, if it's...
But to say if you're Tzira, then it wasn't a Jew, just like created.
Yeah, we didn't say you're Mekayim Puruvu.
Yeah,
so,
just in Tzira.
Yeah, it could be Chachma Tzvi would say, yeah, you are Mekayim Puruvu, and Yosef Engel would say, no, it's not your child. Or maybe it is your child, but it's not a Jewish child. But this case, here, by non-Jew, you certainly would not be fulfilling the mitzvah. Okay. Now, yeah.
The Taz says that he who is taken literally?
Yeah.
So, in Gemara and Sota, it says that someone who like marries a woman, Shem Shemayim, it's like Ki'ilu Yalda, which he gave birth to her. How would you understand that? Like, what does that literally mean? What's a Nakamiya?
Yeah, and I'm not sure. You have to look at every example of Kilu and do a survey on that. So that one, I'm not sure how we'd respond to that. But you have to see, test it out in every single case. So the Minchas Chinuch has a big chiddush in his understanding of the mitzvah Puruvu. Mitzvah Puruvu, the chakir that the Rishonim and Achronim seem to argue about is, what is the mitzvah? What's the gedder of the mitzvah Puruvu? So Pashas is having children. That's the mitzvah, right? And the Minchas Chinuch, with a number of rayas, he tries to prove that it's actually the mitzvah, the ma'isa bia, is the mitzvah, but it's a tanai that one has children. But the ma'isa bia is the key mitzvah. So according to, in the world of the Minchas Chinuch, this is not a discussion at all. There's no ma'isa bia. So he had to take kilu, means it's a nice thing, it's a wonderful thing, it's a beautiful thing. But you can't perform the mitzvah without there being a ma'isa bia. So the Chacham Shulman has to assume that no, it's not the case necessarily. It means maybe that's chakira. Is it about the ma'isa bia, or is it about having a child that you're raising? So at the very end of the Rav Shlomo Kluger, he says that if an individual had children and Rachmana suddenly died, and then he raised stepchildren, so then he says he's vaday mekayim the mitzvah Puruvu. Because on one hand, he had children. He had the ma'isa bia, they were born. And also, even though they passed away, he also raised children as well. So he had both elements of the creating biological children and the element of raising children. That's his understanding at the end. But either way, we see a fascinating suffix here within Chachma Shlomo about whether one is Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. So let's take this as an opportunity to discuss other areas. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see Vaitra in these Marvakomos yet, but there are other areas. Where else can there be unconventional ways of performing Puruva? So we discussed Megadol Yasam Visoma. We discussed called Melamedes Beno. Where else could we have such a case? So Rav Yosef Engel is a fasting Rav Yosef Engel in the Yevamos. If you didn't see it, we'll learn it together right now. But the Gemara talks about Ben Azai. Ben Azai was single. Ben Azai did not get married. And he did not have children. And the Gemara says, how could that be? You have to get married, have children. And he says, Ben Azai says, because Ma'ese Shinafshi Chashka B'Torah. What could you do? I love Torah. I can't separate from Torah. I can't waste a moment of Torah to get married, to have children. It's not going to work. So there are different ways to interpret that. So the Gilyon HaShas is Mechadesh, not that he was exempt from Limud HaTorah, but he actually exempt from Puruva. Rav Yosef Engel is Mechadesh that he actually fulfilled Puruva by Limud HaTorah. How does one fulfill Puruva through Limud HaTorah? And so he writes, because the halachos sheneschadshu aydei Limud HaTorah, all the halachos, all the chidushin that he was Mechadesh through learning, ketoldos banim hayulo, they were as if they were his children. And he brings it right from the Gemara in Brachos that two people and Shabbos matarif to Zimun. Gemara says Shabbos is a gavru, Shabbos isn't a person. So he says no. When two Tamidi Chachamim are mechadid and zed debalacha, they're busy learning, they're sharpening each other in halacha. They're mitzarif to a Zimun. Two people, two Tamidi Chachamim. Where's the third person? Says the Tosfos Rash because the mechadish halachas and the halacha that the mechadish is chashuva kishlishi. It's like a third person. So Tosfos Rash brings this. Rav Yosef Engel uses as a raya the Torah that one creates can be considered a person. And he goes one step further. I'm not going to go through all the details, but what about, let's say a person like Ben Azai, who was never married, and he's Mechadish Torah. So a person, let's say, he's Chayv and Yibum, because his brother dies without children, now his sister-in-law is Zakuk Lim, so he has to do Yibum, Yabin to the wife. Or let's say the other way around, Ben Azai now died, and his wife is, she's Yavama. So now, do we say he has children because of the Chiddush Torah? Is that his children? So Rav Yosef Engel says they are his children, but they're not meyuchas after him. They're not meyuchas to him, and they can't continue his legacy in that same way. They're not, it's not Hakamas Shema Hames, and therefore they don't exempt him from the mitzvah of Yibam. So that's just a fascinating discussion. Rav Yosef Engel takes us to the mamash, the nth degree of this concept of the Chidushei Torah are really considered your children. So it's not only the Gion Yashas, it's also the Noda Behuda. The Noda Behuda in his Sefer Avos Tzion on the Drashas, he says as well, he quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin, that Kom Labed Leven Chaveru Torah Ma'ala Lavakasu Kilu Yaldo, and he quotes Ben Azai as well, and he says that when a person learns, he says the same thing, same Chidush as Rav Yosef Engel. The person learned, it's ki'ilu holoban, like you're giving birth to children. It's such a beautiful language, he says. Imzocha me'is Hashem l'chaber eiz achibur. The person zocha to write a sefer, v'achibur hazeh nisyaseid al davar ha'emes v'tzedek al pidarcha shetorah. And it's founded on Torah, it's founded on truth, and founded on everything honest. Ish hazeh eino posek me'laholid toldos. This person, this individual, this mechaber svarim, does not cease to have children grow from him. Gam Acher Moshe, even after he passes away, he's continuously having more Tamidim by selling more Svarim and Harbatzas Torah. Even after his death, he's having more children. Ze Sefer told us all them. That's what the Pasuk means in the beginning of Bereishis. Ayedei Sefer, through a Sefer, Mamish a Sefer, that person's Mechaber, Ashechiber, Miskaimbo, Lidore Doros, told us all them. Be able to have continued generation, which is such a fascinating idea. Now, this is a drasha, but the Noda Behuda says this, Yosef Engel says this, so this is, again, perhaps the most unconventional way to have children, but nonetheless, it's brought in the halacha as yet another example. So let's finish off with one last one, and this is very halacha l'maisa, actually. It's a strange one. Maybe 50 years ago, we couldn't have thought of how this would be applied halacha l'maisa. But that's why it's so important to learn everything in Shas. Let me learn everything in Poskim, because you never know when it'll be applied to Halacha L'maisa. Rav Shechter, when he was younger, he used to, and he always knew a lot, always knew everything pretty much. So, he did a couple of fun things when he was young. So, the Encyclopedia Talmudis? The way it worked was, he had a chavrusa, I don't know which chavrusa it was. His chavrusa would read, the top. Shechter would rattle off Baal Peh, all the Marma Komas. Oh, that's in the Gemara and this, that's the Shuvas Rosh, that's this. That was like one way to test his memory. And the other thing he used to do is he'd look at a Shuvas Igros Moshe, and he'd look at the Shela, and then he wouldn't look at the Tshuva, and he'd try to figure out what the answer would be of this Shela. And then he said, whenever he looks at the answer was always bring a Raya from some Gemara you never would have expected. Like, I never thought that that would be a Raya for this. But when you think, when you learn through Sugya, is that you never know how this will be applied. That's the, you know, whoever thought that this case we're about to see will be applied to something halach lamaisa. When you're always thinking in such a way, I just finished reading, actually I read a while ago the Chassam Sofer's biography, another wonderful biography. So I was just recapping some stories. And it said whenever he was asked to Shaila, he just answered right away. And they said, how are you able to do that? He said, because when he learned, he always learned, he tried to think of every theoretical case, how this could apply. And that's what he learned. This took you here in Daf Yud Tesem Beis, how could this apply halacha lemaisa? Even though the Gemara wasn't talking about this case, how could such a case be relevant? That's how the mind of a posek works. The mind of a Talmud Chacham, of a tzaddik works. So this case here, the Chelkas Mechokik talks about a very strange case. And the sugyas talk about this in Chagiga, that if a woman gets pregnant in a bathtub, so a man took a bath beforehand, and there is some zereb from him, and she goes in the bath and she gets pregnant. Okay, we're told scientifically this can't really happen, but supposedly it can happen, and is a ma'isa ben sira, that getting involved in that, not ma'isa ben sira, but he supposedly was the son of Yirmiyah, the gemach of sira. He says the same gemach as Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu had a child that was born in the Abati. Somehow the Zerah of Yirmiyahu came out during the bath. A lady took a bath afterwards and went into her, and she gave birth to this child, Zerah. Ben Zerah, that's Yirmiyahu's son. But it wasn't through any relations. So the question the Chelkas Mechokek wanted to know, does one fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu through such a child born? There's no tashmish, there's no marriage, there's no relationship. Can one fulfill the mitzvah? And so what's the relevance to this? Relevance is, if IVF, those who don't know, it's a way to impregnate a lady. If they're not able to, a husband and wife can't have children in the normal ways. So they have, Baruch Hashem, scientific ways to help make her pregnant. Hopefully they could take the zera of the man and implant it into her, and however they do these things, the different ways, different inyanim. And now that's the child. So is that considered a pervu? There was no tashmish there. So the Chora, according to Minchas Chinuch, who says that the gedder of Mrs. Pervu is through bia, well, there was no bia. And perhaps there would not be a mitzvah. But if it's about just having a child that born, even though there is no bia, you circumvented the bia, so then perhaps there would be a mitzvah pervu, and that's the suffix of Chelkas Mechokek. So it sounds very theoretical, but Maisa is very true. How is it going to impact anyone? I mean, so a person can't have children, so the question is, have they fulfilled the mitzvah or not? So no one's going to tell them you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, you want to say that, but it does really have halachic ramifications. So this is the fun sugya. Yeah.
Does one need to be married in order? I mean, can one fulfill the mitzvah peruvu without being married?
Yeah, l'chara, one can. One could have the children.
That's the Russian ksubis. That is right against the Rama.
About the mitzvah versus the hechsher mitzvah.
Basically, you can be mekayem, right, because you can mekayem through pilagshim.
That's through a pilagesh. The question is, what about not a pilagesh? Let's say...
because pilagesh, that's really...
Yeah.
That's, it has any...
We'll discuss Pelagish, actually, we're going to get to it. It's this sugi, it's in this paragraph, actually. Pelagish is below Ksuba, below Kedushim. Daf Chafalas, we'll discuss it maybe next week. But Pelagish, I'll try to remember to bring it up, whether one will fulfill the mitzvah through Pelagish or Puravu. But what if it's not even a Pelagish? It's even a lower level. Can one fulfill the mitzvah? So I think so. I don't think it's a... I have to look at the Michas Chinuch. He talks about all these different topics. He talks about... Oh, maybe not. Wait a second. He talks about coming through an Isser. Yeah, he talks about this in. So we'll look it up.
Yeah, that's the message that I thought
he was
if you
could
be Yotzi
to a Mamzer. Right, yeah. Since you need a Maisa Bia.
That's Tully in the
Heter, right? Exactly. If it's
a Maisa Bia, then yes.
It won't work. By the way, if it's a Maisa Bia, then it won't work because your Maisa Bia is Be'isser.
Right, right.
If it's not Maisa Bia, it's a Tatsa, then you're allowed to, yeah.
The Chinuch says you need, in order to kind of prove you need a Maisa Bia that creates a child, or meaning. You can still say with
that creates a child.
That
that's the Tanai is, it has to result in a child. Yeah. If you have a mice beard that doesn't have a child, even though